There we go. So I want you to know we did do being appreciated on the last full moon ceremony call. I don't know how much of it got recorded because Ariane did it for me because of the cold. And I know she was partway through the ceremony, but I'm hoping she got the meditation part of it for being appreciated. It's funny how that one is just challenged to record. Who knows?
Yeah, it why? Is, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why. Today, this is actually a topic I love, being acknowledged, because it is one that I find with my clients there's huge resistance to. And it's because of our enculturation that tells us that being acknowledged is self-serving or selfish or, if not downright narcissistic, fringing on being, you know, on the edge of being narcissistic. And that's not what this acknowledgement is about. So I thought I'd just open up the floor right away. I know often I talk a little bit before we get started, but today I really want to make sure you get time to talk about whatever, whatever emotion you're working on and what's coming up for you with that, what you'd like input in. From your sisters, from me, or just you just want to share, this is where I'm at. You get to choose whether you want input or not. And if you are working on acknowledged, what came up for you in the meditation? What's that like to focus on the right to be, the need to be acknowledged? So anybody want to jump in, get us started? Don't
sure
make
me.
Marta. Marta always has to do it. It's your job.
Okay.
Charmaine, you're going to jump in?
This wasn't payback, Charmaine. This wasn't payback.
I know. I could feel it. I could tell right away. Okay, looks like it's going to be one heck of a session today, man. We're going to get it. Being acknowledged. I know I've done this class once before, but you know what? In the way that I got this one, I didn't even come close to it last time. Not even close to what was going on for me this time around. So being acknowledged, when I was doing the meditation, there was these flashes that came up of major areas in my life, whether they be relationships or my work environment. And how I literally, like I yearned to be acknowledged. Yearned. And I would govern myself. I would make decisions based on being acknowledged instead of being who I am. I for sure was myself, but I'd put a little extra in there just to get acknowledged, just to be. And I wasn't. What ended up happening was I would either be used, taken advantage of, or looked at as weak, or. And I'm like, oh, I was being viewed through wounded eyes. Not through eyes who understood or saw me. Then I realized that the more that happened, the more I sought it out. The more wounded the person became that was in front of me that I was seeking acknowledgement from. And which is from my end, if I want to acknowledge that, is looking for a weaker person in a way. Someone more susceptible or more vulnerable that could acknowledge me. And that was kind of weird to think of it that way. Because for me, I look at that as predatory or taking advantage of someone, or I look at it that way. So I'm like, wow, I'm not as innocent as I thought I was. Oops. So I would find a more wounded person who wouldn't acknowledge me, who would even take deeper advantage, more of my work, more of whatever it was, to the point where I just kind of gave up on a lot of things. And you asked, what does it mean? For me, it meant safety. Acknowledgement means safety to me. And it means that I'm where I belong and that I can be who I am vulnerably and openly. And still be loved and still be okay. That I'm not going to get beaten up one way or another. So what's been coming up before all of this is kind of interesting is how I'm showing up. How am I showing up? Because if I've been showing up in such a way that I need that acknowledgement, then I'm asking for it even more. I am showing up in a way that, and what has come up was, I remember saying that I get pulled into people's stuff. Like I can feel that I'm a lesson for them. I feel that I am the lesson for them. And I act, say, or do things that's outside of my character, outside of my nature. And I know it's for that particular person. And even though I try to pull myself out, the more I pull out, the stronger I get drawn in. The more I can feel the resistance, the draw, the tightness. And when I acknowledged that, I got to stand outside of the experience and see that others are doing that for me. Others are showing up that way for me. So if they're showing up that way, it's because I'm calling out or I'm showing up in a way that draws that in. And so one of the things that I wanted to ask for today was feedback from everyone on how I'm showing up in these classes. Not necessarily the good side, but maybe that's a yes. Actually, sorry, that's wrong. It'd be good to hear the good side too. Maybe a positive acknowledgement and also another acknowledgement of where your impression or understanding is of what, how I could be showing up that could use a little bit more love, that could use a little bit more tweaking or work, where I could do more work.
Wow, Jermaine, may I go first with this?
Yeah, she's, this, yeah.
With the feedback, I mean.
Go for it, dear.
Okay, I just waited for her to, because I learned that you have to ask before you give feedback.
That's, yes, please.
Okay. Wow, oh gosh, I feel so touched by what you just shared, really. And I so resonate. So I've got a huge acknowledgement in terms of I could really feel you in every word you were sharing right now. And it was so honest. I even like to say brutally honest. And I so appreciate and acknowledge that. It takes so much awareness and self-reflectedness to be able to see what you just described. And that's amazing. And I really want to acknowledge you for that. And I'm deeply touched. And it reflects a lot of things back to me that happened just recently. And yeah, it makes me feel less weird in a way. So yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Beautiful. And Evelyn, I really want to acknowledge you for waiting to hear Charmaine's answer. She was nodding her head, so she was giving her approval, but you may not have seen it at that moment. And
No, I couldn't recognize that. I've got a very tiny screen on my mobile.
Well, I just love your consideration. That was also quite lovely. Yeah. So Charmaine, you're ready for some more feedback from the gals?
Oh yeah. That was a good start. I can hold that one with pleasure. But that's not to deter anyone from saying anything that might be a little bit more on the constructive side.
Charmaine, can you repeat again? I didn't catch it. Like, what feedback would you like to have? Would you?
Feedback in any way, how you see me showing up in these classes, and a really honest feedback to help me step forward into being more authentic and less wounded when I do show up in places outside of here.
Give me a moment. I'll share if something's coming up.
Okay.
Muted Marta, did you have anything you want to share? Uh-oh, her screen's frozen.
Am I here?
You're here now.
There, to me, there's something that is not palpable. It has to do with the... You have a beautiful way of expressing yourself. You really have a way with words. And if I remember correctly, it was part of the construction of the tree. I think it was somewhere there. And indeed, it is not only based on that, but mainly on my experience with you, even from previous work, the she. You do have a really good way with words. At times, for me, it's not easy to follow it all the way through. Part might be because I am not a native speaker, and sometimes that has influence. Or perhaps it's just the gateways, right? The ways we perceive information. We all say, I remember it's coming to me. I once offered a session of mine to a woman I worked with in the past. She was my teacher. And I remember saying something from a state of consciousness where I could really totally feel the volume and the intensity of those words. And then when I asked her, like Misa say, it does, and it really resonates with me, does this make sense or does this sound like truth? And the lady was like, well, not the way you framed it. So you know what I mean? So it's not that it doesn't make sense or that it's not valid. I feel it might be a number of reasons. But this is my experience. You do have a really powerful times. I struggle to be able to follow the continuum of it. And again, might be because I'm not a native speaker. Might be because of filters. Might be perhaps something for you. That is what is there for me.
Thank you.
Mm.
I think sometimes people who are intuitive, we hear, see, feel, and everything, and we have our perception. There are moments where my thoughts, and I don't mean this in a fragmented way. Like I have this, and I'm trying to like this,
yeah.
Because I've always been asked to be like this. So even in my explaining, I feel apologetic. Even in talking, I feel like I'm taking up too much space. I feel like I need to keep it short because others need to be heard. Or I'm constantly hard on myself. And so when I speak sometimes, and I've noted this with you, Marta, I'm fragmented because those wounds show up that stop me from really fully expressing and being and standing in my power in that moment. And I see there's patience that comes from you, Marta, that I can learn from, that you literally, you stand in your structure. You stand in your own house and from there you speak. Whereas I'm running from room to room going, you know, trying to get that out in any way that I can and still be heard. So maybe it's that you're picking up from. I'm running. I'm speaking and I'm in my presence, but I'm trying to run and hide at the same time. Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but if that's what comes,
it helps. Yes, thank you. Yeah,
and Charmaine, may I add something to that? Mm-hmm. I didn't feel that today, though. I had some difficulty following your thoughts before, but not today. So maybe you were sharing from a different place within yourself. I don't know.
Yeah, I was. I was a little more adamant about making sure that I said what needed to be said.
Mm-hmm. And it was very clear to me this time.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Okay.
Now, that is a brave thing to do, by the way. So that's a brave thing to do.
Mm.
What are you doing?
Thank you. Well, this is a safe room. Thank you.
Can I offer as well?
Yes, please.
Yeah, I agree with Martha. I think I want to acknowledge your courage, your bravery in asking us, you know, to give you feedback. And the thing that I want to acknowledge about you, which is the opposite energy of me that I'm learning as well. I, since the first time, you know, we met in this circle, I feel like, wow, this woman is powerful.
Mm.
I feel that you, when you want to say something or when you need something, I feel there's power in it. And I was like, wow, that's something that I am developing. You're very expressive. And something that maybe you could add, and I think you just said just now it makes me understand more, because you're so powerful. There are moments when you, like, there was one time when you offered me something. I think your intention was powerful, but the energy that came across was different.
Mm.
So now I got it. When you say, yeah, you are from here, but when you offer it, perhaps it was from here. So when I received it, it felt a bit unclear. But now I think my suggestion, take it if it works for you, is yeah, you can, you know, offer it from here, as you said. Yeah, because I could feel your intention, I could feel your love. You know, when you offer it, it really comes from your love. But somehow when it was delivered, something was missing.
Thank you. That's wonderful. Right.
May I add something here that was sparked by Achari? It is funny how you were saying about the comparing energy, because we do that, right? I like to call it putting things in perspective. And in me comparing, in my comparing thing, what happens is I feel really simple. And as I experience it, not as something negative, but as a quality. I feel really simple. I can't speak like elaborately or eloquently as you do go. And it was interesting how it went, the comparison thing, right? Like, oh, less than. But it was very interesting to observe how it was shaping into its simplicity. I tend to, in my complexity, I feel that I tend to land in simplicity. I wanted to acknowledge this.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Achari and Charmaine.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, shall we complete the circle, Charmaine? You want a little bit of feedback from me?
Of course.
Absolutely.
Well, you are taking our circle to another level, to another depth of experience, and I want to acknowledge that. And just in the practice, and of course this is just true for women everywhere when we connect, and we connect in safety, I want to acknowledge that within the practice that we're working in within the 10 emotions, what you just did is actually what is trained for what women learn to do as they are preparing for elderhood. Mm-hmm. And another level of service to their community. And there are two aspects to elderhood. And women often struggle with one or the other, sometimes both, but usually one or the other. And the first is to receive genuine support from her peers. So her elder council, the women that she trusts, and those are the attagirls. Those are the moments where somebody can acknowledge you and say, I love the way you do this. I love this about you. Because we need that acknowledgement, right? And there's an understanding of that, that we help, it helps us see who we are when we see the reflection through someone else's eyes, particularly when we respect those other eyes, right? It's much easier. It's much easier. And at the same time, part of support, part of what comes with that is something you were speaking to, which is the realization that every person you see, every set of eyes is reflecting something back to you. And we are often playing roles for each other in our development. Mm. And one of the great opportunities as we move into spiritual consciousness is to keep moving into the role of the observer, to see the dynamic that is happening rather than being so caught up in the dynamic that is happening, right? Because once you can step out of it, you can say, oh, I played that role for him really well, didn't I? Or I got caught up in that drama, didn't I? Or he played that out for me, right? He's showing me exactly where I'm stuck. Okay, mm-hmm. Let me play it out. So to see those reflections, and that there is an acknowledgement happening, whether it's comfortable or uncomfortable, acknowledgement is happening on some level. And that we can influence over time. We become influencers of the acknowledgements we are receiving because we have fulfilled it within ourselves. And we are better able to hold the acknowledgements in whatever form they come, hold them. So that comes, I'm taking that a little further from straight support, but support is being able to go to your counsel, to your sisters, to those you trust, and ask them to help you see yourself in a loving and beautiful way. What's working for me? What's working for you, right? We need that. We need that support. And what else could I do, and how could I shape things a little differently to be even more effective in my service in the world? There is a second part of that. And you stepped into that a little bit too. And the second part is accountability. And accountability is when you say that this is important to me. Well, I guess we didn't quite go there. I want to be really clear. Give me just a moment to sit with that and listen to the grandmothers if you don't mind. Okay. Yeah, they're saying, yes, you did. You stepped into it because you asked for an honest feedback that you would use to hold yourself accountable.
Yeah.
That's where accountability is there. They're saying, yes, it most certainly is there. So accountability is a willingness to recognize what is important to you and to allow your sisterhood to hold you accountable in that.
Yeah.
So that if you slip up and you are in a place where you might hurt someone, that you know that a sister is going to come take your hand and say, we need to have a virtual cup of coffee or a cup of coffee, and we need to talk, sister, because this is important and it's coming up. Mm-hmm. And I'm here for you. I'm here to support you. It's also a willingness to hold you accountable. And many years ago, Ariane did that with me. I was complaining about something, and then one of my goals is to keep my complaint ratio going down, down, down into nothingness. Yeah. And I was complaining. And she said, Nisa, you've been complaining about this for years. You need to go hold it. And you'll love how I responded, Charmaine. I said, no, 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 no. This is different. This is different.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, okay. And, but this was my sister, right? She was holding me accountable. So I sat down and I did the holding for days when I called her back and said, you were right. She says, I know. And so, and then she listened and let me work it through. So then there was support. So this beautiful dance between accountability and support that you just stepped into allows us to go deep into spiritual maturity and spiritual expansion and root it in a way, which I'm hearing your sister speak to, root it in a way that it becomes service to others.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So now, when you step out into the world, Charmaine, and you're doing your sacred work, and you are concerned that you're hitting the edge of your ego, or you're concerned because you're in a dysfunctional loop,
yeah,
and you see it, you don't try to hide from it or hide it. You just simply step into it and say, wait a minute, there's something going on here. I need help. And you reach out in trust that your sister, your counsel, whoever you've chosen, is willing to lovingly support you and hold you accountable. And the freedom in that, that I've seen women find and that I've experienced, is that you tend to, you drop the criticism. Because it's not about criticism, even yourself. It just starts going away. It's self-truth, self-awareness. And that, you know, as you become more and more truthful and aware, the more joyful your life becomes.
Mm-hmm.
And the more fun it becomes. And you worry less about stepping out. And this is a big fear for a lot of us, that if we step out into our real power, that we're going to hurt someone. That we're going to fail, that our ego is going to get too involved. Why? Because we've done it for lifetimes, right? We've played all the roles. And we hold a certain amount of fear that we will not engage properly. And if we hold that fear, and I find this frequently with ultra-sensitives and with very empathic women, we hold ourselves back from our true work in the world. But if we know, and you will, you cannot stretch and expand without hitting the edge of your ego. There is no way to stretch and expand. I want all of us to hear this. You cannot stretch and expand into your potential without hitting the edges of your ego. And those are tenuous places. It's difficult to tell whether you're still making a decision out of ego or you're making it out of consciousness. It's not always so clear. So when you're, right, when your sisters are there and they say, honey, she's right, that's a little, that's headed toward ego. That one's feeling like your true consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see why you want to get bigger, why you want to reach more people, why you want to do it in this way, and here's where the edge is. Can you feel it? Mm-hmm. Can you see it? How can we support you through it?
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we hold ourselves back.
Yeah, that was really, really loud to me. And I was up from 4 o'clock in the morning writing down all this stuff, like up for over an hour. And it was all about that. How do I have my check marks in place? Where are the flags that get raised? If I this or if I, there is, okay, here's one of my flags or check marks, which I'm confused if it's my ego, is so an actual something in practice, right? So here I am along doing my thing, and is for the last few weeks, it's gotten really loud. You made a comment, Misa, once about the Dalai Lama, how someone wanted to send him love or something, and he got the slap back. I thought, oh my gosh, the Dalai Lama, wouldn't that just be awesome to feel the way he feels sometimes? geez, it would be great. And I used to, and it's come up quite a bit with you. I used to, before I got what I call annihilated, I wonder what this, I wonder what that. And I'd always get a message from an animal. I get a bird come and lightly, gently stroke my cheek as I'm driving down a highway. Or they'd fly with me, or deers would come out of nowhere, these big antlered deers, these. Okay, well, anyway, so the Dalai Lama. I'm thinking about this. And there was one moment where in my most confusion, where my heart is hurting, and I don't know which way to turn, and I need that peace, I need that rest, which is almost all the time. There was a bubble that appeared around me, and I pressed up against the Dalai Lama's bubble. There was no breaking any barriers. There was no crossing over. It was just the edge of mine touched the edge of his, and that was enough for me. Just touching the edge of his parameters was enough for that to come in and just, ah. And then when I feel really tumultuous a little bit, my bubble flattens and it wraps around his bubble so that there's more of my bubble touching his bubble. And oh my gosh, it feels amazing. Mm-hmm. And there's only in those conscious moments, that awareness moment, it feels like I've been given, this is okay. There's an acceptance that it's okay for it to happen this way. And now my bubble can be inside of his bubble, but I can't go in without a bubble. I have to be inside the bubble. I can't, because I can't step completely into, but I can be in my bubble. My bubble can be surrounded by him. And oh my gosh. So when I'm in that, instantly I go to my bubble and I'm right there beside him. I'm just like two little bubbles touching. So it depends on what I need, but I don't go in for more than what I need ever. It's just an unspoken integrity. I just need a little touch. I need a big touch. I need to be inside. Just integrity 100. There's nothing even needs to be said. It doesn't happen if I don't need it. It like literally won't happen. It just won't happen. Mm-hmm. So those kind of things are ego driven or consciousness? Expansion or?
If it had been ego, you would have done what my friend did, which was send him Reiki energy without permission. That's ego. I can help. That's ego. You see? But being able to say exactly.
It wasn't generosity.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's why he got slapped back, was no, that's not pure enough. And for the Dalai Lamas, where his energy is, that doesn't mean the Dalai Lama never makes a mistake. He does. He does. Mm-hmm. He has his ego points too. It just means that my friend got the response that he needed to help him be able to see, oh, that was coming from ego. Mm-hmm. And so when he asked me about it, I said, did you ask first? Oh no, he rolled his eyes. He went, no, I didn't ask first. Well, that's why, honey, you just need to ask first and see if the Dalai Lama wants to receive that from you. Exactly where we started this whole conversation today, right? With Evelyn asking permission.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. So these are fine lines, and sometimes permission is implied, sometimes it's not. It's not always easy to see. And that's part of the journey. And that's the gift of a circle. That's the gift of sisterhood or brotherhood, is that you have these beautiful people that will help you weigh and measure it out, as you just did today. So I really thank you, Charmaine, for opening up
that
doorway to us and for your courage in doing so.
Thank you.
So beautiful. Yay.
Yay.
Awesome. All right. who's feeling called? Oh, Achari, she's jumping in. Go, girl.
I want to thank Charmaine as well. I feel closer to you today. And I truly think that, as Michelle said, you have brought the circle into a deeper level. You know, before Missa was saying, there was this voice inside that say, oh, this is so good. It's such, so nice that we have a safe space where we receive feedback. I never thought of that. So kind of, I feel like, yeah, the circle is getting into another level. So thank you. And when Missa was talking about ego and helper, I just want to share this because I have this religious teacher, Thich Nhat Hanh, that I've been following. And I just read what he wrote like a few weeks back. And he said, a bodhisattva who thinks that he or she has liberated sentient beings is not yet a bodhisattva. So I was like, you know, because there's no helper or receiver. So when Missa was saying that, that reminds me of what Thich Nhat Hanh was saying. Yeah. Yet it's not simple because at the same time, a bodhisattva also has a vow that says like, yeah, we want to, our practice is for the purpose, not for us, but for the purpose of for the benefits of others. So just, I got excited when. I would like to share about my experience during the meditation and also get some support about my job from the sisters as well, from you as well, Missa. So I just got an email.
Achari, I'm sorry to interrupt. Do you have headphones that you could?
Oh, is it too? Okay, give me.
It's a bit difficult for me to hear clearly. I'm sorry.
Hold on. So let me get this. It was too soft.
Just a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Is it better?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. So I received an email from one of the consulting firm that I used to work with when I was really young during my teenage. And they wanted to have an interview with me for a part-time trainer job. And I left that place feeling not being acknowledged. So actually I asked for a part-time job when I left and they didn't give it to me. And I didn't feel very much acknowledged. So I took this into my meditation. And yeah, the meditation was interesting because it's something that is that I never thought is so big. It was about my father. I took the job into my meditation, but suddenly it went to wanting acknowledgement from my dad. And then I realized that I've become a perfectionist because I have keep on doing so much to receive acknowledgement from my dad that he's proud of me, but I have never got that. You know, and I cried because even during my undergrad, when I graduated my bachelor degree, I wanted him to tell me that he's proud of me, you know, I got honored degree, and it seems like no one kind of acknowledged. And I cried when I realized that it was about my dad. And I felt a lot of tension on my body. And I felt very empty inside, you know, my heart. And I thought initially the emptiness was because I didn't feel acknowledged, but the emptiness was about, I have tried so much to do something to make sure it's perfect, yet it's not something that I enjoy or love. I do it just to make sure I got that from my dad, like word of acknowledgement or things like that. You know, I graduated my master's degree and I didn't hear much from my dad, but, and I didn't enjoy my master's degree as well. Yeah. So yeah, so but towards the end I feel better when I have a divine father who came in and be with me, and I felt like more relaxed on my chest when the divine father came in. Yeah. It's interesting now when I'm sharing about it, it's not as excited as I was doing it. So perhaps it's over. Yeah. But I want to get support from all of you, if anyone is willing to. It's that I am reluctant to go back for the interview. A lot of fighting thoughts that are coming up, like one part would be like, why don't you just go, you know, because then you make a connection, it doesn't matter if you get it or it doesn't matter, just go try, you know, take the courage. And one part about the meditation was I felt the courage Achari was stepping up. She was like, I felt an energy of like walking out of something during the meditation. I turn over and talk to that girl beside me and say, we'll walk together. And I felt I was kind of, you know, walking out. Something I was standing up and ready to walk, you know. So that was the courage that I felt in that meditation as well. But with this interview, I thought like, yeah, now I need a lot of well-being. I'm not sure which path I am in the indecisive direction. Like, what do I really want to do that serve my soul purpose? It came up in my meditation as well. Like, as long as you do something that serve your soul purpose, go for it. It doesn't matter whether anyone would acknowledge, you know, it's for something. That came up during the meditation. But I have so much fear about whether they will make me do too much work, or I'm not ready because I want to do my own work. But yet they may be able to support me financially as well, because it's a big company, big well-known consulting firm. And yeah, the only thing that wants me to go back is, first, maybe there's opportunities for me to do my soul work. Second, it might give me some financial support. Yeah, so that's... So a lot of, there's fear maybe, yeah. I am afraid I'm not able to negotiate with them, let's say if I only want to work a certain hours or something like that, or only do on project based or something like that. But inside me just say, just go and see what happened first. So, yeah.
So what question, Achari, what's the big question on your mind and heart that you'd like to have some feedback about?
Maybe if you could reflect, it seems like a lot of things it's in my mind and it's fighting, and I become very unclear about, yeah, Charmaine, please.
Achari, I so love this one. This one is, this one's really dear to me. And this is interesting. I really do acknowledge in where you're standing right now with this. It's actually made where I'm standing in my own place way more clear. And it's solidified my commitment to myself. And not only that, but it's made me acknowledge that I've made the right choices to be where I am. And I'm sorry to, I don't mean to cut into yours, but just to express that I'm standing in a solid place and I feel confident in where I am only because of what you shared. And what you shared with me is the exact same thing where I've been, which is... not exactly, but really close. I wanted to take a position that didn't extract too much effort from me. I wanted to take something that was part-time so I could focus on what my purpose is. And I wanted to take something that didn't make me feel bad about myself too, where now I'm questioning, am I a loser? Am I that kind of thing is what came up. It did. And it did came up. So there are certain places where I just couldn't take a job because it would elicit, not that it would be wrong, but it would pull out too much of that. And you were talking about acknowledgement from your dad and needing to feel and see that he has pride. So not that it's right and not that it's wrong, but you seem to have a need to want to be in a place where you can feel proud, where you're not going to lose face to anyone. Mm-hmm. So that seems important. This working part-time and saying that it takes courage, that it would be a little bit of courage, and it does take courage, but that you could see the courage with yourself in stepping when you did your meditation and with the Divine Father coming in, you could feel the courage, you could feel that. And yet at the same time, you also are saying when you actually step outside of that and go close to the situation, you're not feeling that courage. You're feeling like it might be too much responsibility. You're feeling like you can't ask for exactly what you need. Mm-hmm. And in the experience that I've had with mine, I felt the same way. What I've learned over time is that I could ask for exactly what I need, and they support me. They can see when I start to not feel so good. They're supporting me to ask for exactly what I need. They're saying, okay, what do you need to show up? Okay, well, I need this. Okay, well, then I'm going to give it to you. Oh, okay. So I hear what you're saying, and my vote is, my vote, not that it's right, but my vote is go for it. Go for it. Take the part time. If it's something you feel good about, proud having that position, and you're still getting out there, you're still doing, you're providing some financial, which you've already said, you're leaving time to search for yourself. As long as there isn't something in there where you feel it's going to deplete you. If there's something in there that you know from your experience working there before, it will deplete you, then it will.
But it,
Yeah.
Does that sound clear?
Yeah, it's clear. Actually, when I was working there, it really depleted me. That was full-time job. So that's one of my fear. And thank you. I think this is very helpful. I guess I'll go for the interview. And from what you said, maybe I could explore whether...
Yeah, or and explore and even say, I can only work 3 days a week, four hours, or 12 hours a week. Mm-hmm. Whatever the project is or the investment that you have other commitments and this is all you can at this time, but that it could change in the future. You could increase it, you can decrease it, you can.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your reflection. This helped me to be clear in what I need.
May I add to this?
Yes, Evelyn, thank you.
It's so amazing because I'm in a very similar situation. I really am, because I applied for a job and... I'm not sure, like you, I don't have the clarity. I'm just not able to say, is it something I really want or not? I mean, it's not decided yet. Maybe they go for someone else. But I can so resonate with what's right. What am I going to do? And can I negotiate? Is it okay to ask for this and that? And my experience is, and I'm totally with Shemaine, the more true I am to myself and the more anchored in what I'm really committed to, the easier it gets to show up this way and to explore what's possible. I don't know what it'll be like, and so don't you, but I think as long as we are true to ourselves and really explore, hey, let's see what's possible. How does it feel? Is it still okay with me? Is it okay that amount of time, or do I need less, or is there anything else I need, or can we negotiate? And I've learned the more you ask, the more answers you get. And if you don't ask, you don't get any answers, and then you never know what's possible.
Mm.
So that's my answer for the moment. Just I'm going to have my second interview this week, and I've no idea if I even want to move there. I would have to move again, and I don't feel drawn there, but still I'm open to explore what it feels like, and if it might be, I don't know, if I might have some insight that I haven't right now. So yeah, maybe we just can move on and see what happens. That's my share for that. I don't know if it helps, but I hope it does.
Yes, Evelyn, thank you. I love the word possibilities.
Yeah
because
we don't know yet. We just don't.
Thank you Shemaine. Thank you, Evelyn. Very helpful.
Achari, it's an interesting place you're in because you've already had an experience with them.
Yes. Right.
That was a reflection of what you experienced with your father, of someone not acknowledging you and not being proud of you. So there is a history. And that makes it more challenging than something that is new, to see the possibility when you have a reflection from the past that is limited. So it does take courage to step in to see what the possibility is. What is there now that may or may not have been there before? Mm-hmm. As a very wise woman once said to me, when I was one of those complaining moments, and I was complaining about another spiritual teacher and something he'd done that I thought was just totally inappropriate, she looked at me with these beautiful diamond-like eyes and she said, everybody has the right to change. Indeed, and from then on, I saw him in a whole new way. And each person that I struggled with in the past in a whole new way, they have a right to change. And would I be willing to see them with fresh eyes? Mm. When we are working with the energy of acknowledgement, one of the discoveries that sounds like you're making is that one of the ways to become acknowledged is to ask for exactly what you want. Mm-hmm. Whether that's with your father or a potential employer or of yourself in terms of what is it that you really want to be doing and how are you building the structure that supports what you want to be doing. Mm-hmm. That's the deepest acknowledgement of you. So a question you can ask yourself as you're in the interview is this: what I experience here and the income that I make and the opportunities it provides, does it build toward the structure that I am creating for myself, the life I am creating that is in alignment with my purpose? Mm-hmm. And then you'll feel that answer, because that's acknowledging you. And that's that sense of when we acknowledge, there is a sense of pride that I am creating my life. I'm creating the life the divine intended for me.
Yeah.
Does that resonate as true?
It's really resonate. I think sometime I got confused whether I'm not taking this job because I'm not taking the courage or having that courage, or is it because it's not resonating with my soul purpose? Sometimes I'm a bit, so it's like, maybe I should take it because I have too much fear. Or maybe I'm not taking it because it's not resonating with my soul purpose. So sometimes it's like, there's a battle, but I think I can sense it. I think Charmaine said it as well, and as you said, I think we can sense it if we go deep inside and see it's really listening from deep within. Yeah.
Yes, that listening deep within, and as you're in communication with others, listening deeply to them, which you have ears for, to be able to hear what they are saying and what isn't being said, which is also in the field. To see the whole of the field. Sometimes spirit is guiding us to an opportunity because there's something else in the field that is beneficial to us. A person to meet, a lesson to learn, an opportunity that exists that we haven't imagined yet, an idea that you're going to have. So if you can expand your listening to encompass that, you'll have a greater sense of whether it serves your ultimate purpose or not. That's a thought. It might be worth trying.
Yes. Thank you. Thank
you. You are so awesome.
May I add another thought? It just came to my mind. And we too can change our minds. We can quit a job if it's not right for us. We can start a job and then, you know, realize, oh, that's not what I thought it would be. So I might better leave, you know? So I think it's the fear of doing something wrong, making a mistake, and maybe there is no such thing as making mistakes. It's just making choices and having experience and then course correcting, you know?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Chin-Ning Chu, in her book, says that there is no such thing as failure. There is only divine redirection. There's only divine redirection. And I love that concept because it gives us a freedom to keep stepping forward. And I've, at least in the States, I don't know if this is true anywhere else, that first 3 months that we're employed is really a trial period. It's really understood when I used to review resumes and help do placements, it's really understood that if it doesn't work in the first 3 months, nobody's like, you were flaky on that job. It doesn't work like that. It's like, if it didn't work in the first 3 months, you were in the wrong place. And you can speak to that in an interview, right? You can say, yeah, I went in there. It wasn't quite what I was expecting. I'm looking for more of this. And that's understood. And I think from my work, from my background, when a potential employee gets that as well as the employer, your first 3 months are a lot gentler. Because it really is an evaluation of each other and to say, is this the right fit? Mm-hmm. It's a sample. And there's a freedom in that if you know that.
Mm-hmm.
And as you may know, as all of you ladies may know, and if you don't know, this is a little business advice from years ago, the best time to negotiate for what you want is when they offer you the job.
Mm.
Get as much as you can that first time. Mm. Because you don't tend to easily get that then over time. If you're thinking, well, I'll kind of pull back a little bit and not sound so greedy, and in a year from now, I'll come back and ask for more. Not the time to do it. There's all kinds of data on that, by the way. The best time is to negotiate for as much as you can as soon as you go in. If they can't do it, they'll tell you. Then it's time to pull back. But it's you're in a particularly great position when they offer you a job to make sure you get acknowledged in the way you want to be acknowledged, right? Time, money, resources, whatever that looks like. And then you do, when you negotiate in that way, there's a deep sense of pride that you loved yourself enough, cared enough about yourself to create what you wanted. It's very powerful and very beautiful.
Thank you, sister.
Yeah. Beautiful insights today. Thank you. Clearly, you brought up a topic, Achari, that was big for several women here and connecting to that energy of acknowledgement. And of course, as we all know, it's that going deeper into acknowledging, letting Divine Father, Divine Mother acknowledge us. Then we don't seek it externally. But here's the magic. When you love yourself that much and you've been acknowledged internally, you simply ask. It's easier to ask for what you need and want. And there is it's not exactly an expectation, but a knowingness that it will be delivered. And if not here, it will be delivered there. And if not there, it will be delivered here. So an openness to allowing it to be delivered to you. And that's fun. Well, it's part of our grand journey. So we're at 10:11. We're a little bit over. And what I'm thinking is that, especially since we've covered something that, a couple of things that have touched all of us to some degree, that next week when we meet again, we'll make sure that Evelyn and Marta get a chance to go first and focus on what's there for you. Are we in agreement with that? Good. All right. So we
totally agree. And just wanted to say, you've covered a lot of my stuff as well. Don't worry.
We got there. Yay. Yay. The magic of circles, indeed. All right. Well, let's say our goodbyes and blow kisses and send love to each other. Love you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.